I would dare say this morning that all of us would love to be on higher ground in the presence of our God, the one that we love, the one that we admire, the one in whose name we have come this morning to pay tribute and to show our honor and our respect. And we're so glad that you have joined us here this morning. It is a beautiful day. I'm certainly glad we missed all of the ice and the wet rain, the sleet, and all of that. And God has been so good to us to allow us to come together here at the beginning of this new year and say welcome to all of you that are here, those who are visiting with us, and perhaps those of you who are members of the body of Christ. You know, the Surgeon General urges Americans now, I'm told, I saw this on television the other day, to rethink how we are living our lives in his closing letter to the country before the new administration. And you know, I really got to thinking about that, how true that should be of all of us, to rethink how we are living our lives. I know that he was talking in terms of it physically and perhaps medically, but this morning as we take a picturesque view through the Word of God about how we ought to be living our lives in terms of a spiritual nature, then perhaps we all need to rethink how we're living our lives. I'm thankful that the year 2024 is now history, and that we are not standing at the brink of a new year, but that we have already immersed ourselves in the new year. And we are embraced not only by that, but the great God that we serve this morning. And I'm thankful and grateful when I think about all the great opportunities that God will give us in this year. By the way, at the end of the service today, we'll be passing out our plans for the year. We hope that all of you will be sure and take one of those at different events. The elders have outlined that very methodically for us. Events that are going to be forthcoming. You'll also have a letter from the elders telling us a little bit about the past and where we're going in the future. We hope that you'll be sure and pick one of those up. The young men will be passing those out before we leave the building today. You know, the new year, 2025, presents for us great opportunities. Now, whether we seize those opportunities or not will be based upon our own selves. God has placed before us many, many challenges of this new year. And I'm thankful and grateful for each and every one of them. It would be easy for us to go back and live in self-pity over the things that perhaps maybe we didn't accomplish in the year 2024, or perhaps maybe the things that happened to you, but God does not want us to wallow in self-pity. He doesn't. Sometimes we all have pity parties, don't we? But you know what? We have to get off the pity pot and move on in our lives. Self-pity is easily the most destructive of non-pharmaceutical narcotics. It is true. And you can live in that if you want to, or you can challenge yourself to rise above it. Self-pity is addictive. It gives momentary pleasure and separates the victim from what reality is all about. Isaiah, the great prophet of old, in Isaiah 43:18, made this observation. He said, "The Lord says, forget about what has happened before and do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things that I am going to do." And you know, I'm convinced that God is going to do great things. We have lost a number of our members this last year in death. I don't have an official count for you. We can secure that. But every one of those people are people that we love and people that we miss in the assembly here. And our prayers continue to be with these families, as will our prayers be with the Han family, another that we lost just on Friday. But I'm thankful that Christ came to give us a better life, and that's where these folks are right now. They are in the presence of a loving God, and will await the great resurrection morning when all the dead in Christ will rise and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Christ said, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10 and verse 10. We must forget about what hurt us in the past, but never forget what it taught us. And it teaches a lot of things. We need to understand that God is far more interested in our future than he is our past. Have you ever noticed that even in our own automobiles, we view life that way? Have you ever noticed how small the rearview mirror is? It's just real small, and you look in that rearview mirror. But when you look out through that beautiful windshield, you see many opportunities. And many of us look into the rearview mirror, and we're focused on the past and not really focused on the future. Just maybe that is where you are this morning. You feel that you've made so many mistakes, that you have failed God, and that many of you have sinned against our Lord, Romans chapter 3. And now that God doesn't really want to have anything to do with you, that's just not true at all. Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why, I mean, he's the great physician. We are those who are sick. I've told you many times that the church is not a rest home for saints, but it is a hospital for those of us who sin, for those of us perhaps who have made mistakes in our life, and there are many of them, but we have to move on. Someone appropriately said that your mind is a garden and your thoughts are the seeds. You can either grow flowers or you can grow weeds. It is true. And if I were to ask you this morning, what are you focused on? You focused on the things that are behind you? Those things are for naught. They're gone. Or are you focused actually on the future? The good news is God says it's not over. He says, I have plans for your life, and I'm about to do something new for you in this year, 2025. But how do we make a fresh start? How do you go about doing that? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I would tell you that the first thing that we have to do is abandon the alibis. You know, all of us have alibis for things we don't want to do. If you don't want to come to church, you'll have an alibi. You'll have an excuse. If you don't want to give unto God, you'll have an alibi. You have immersed yourself in so much debt that you have now robbed God. And in the book of Malachi chapter 3, God even said, you have robbed me in tithes and in offerings. If you don't want to seek the lost in this year, 2025, then I can tell you, you will have an alibi for it. But we have to suspend, not only suspend, but we have to get rid of the alibis as well. In other words, no more excuses. It's important. If it is important to you, you will find a way. And if it's not really that important to you, you will find an excuse. Let me ask you a question this morning. How faithful and how loyal are you unto God? When your life is over and when there will be no more New Year's for you, where will you be? Will you have lived a life that is honorable in the sight of God, and will you have served Him faithfully? That is a question that each of us needs to ask ourselves. And in the Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 38, Solomon said, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful, but he who confesses and forsakes them gets another chance. Isn't that what God asks us to do? In the book of 1 John, the great beloved apostle said that if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sometimes people live in the past and they hate people. They do. They go through a lot of issues and they begin to where they hate people. They don't love people anymore. Someone said, I don't have time to hate people who hate me because I'm too busy loving the people who love me. And that's what you have to do. You know, I've learned in life that people will talk about you And I've learned also that the ones who will talk to you about others will also talk to others about you. You better be careful what you say and how you say it. Be honest with people and understand that we all have the same amount of time. No matter what it is, it's an issue of getting rid of the alibis, abandoning the excuses. Make it happen. If you want it to happen, stop your alibis. Proverbs 20:7 says, "A sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them, but the fool never ever looks ahead and suffers the consequences." And isn't that so true? It is true in life. That's why we have to listen up. That's why we have sermons. That's why we have Bible classes, to help us become more aware of what we ought to be doing. And why won't people listen to the advice of other people? Because they think they don't need it. It's called ego. You know what ego stands for? Eliminating God outright. And that's what it is. Whether you admit it or not, you do. When you're so full of pride and you think that you're Ms. Astor or Mr. Astor, and you think that you know all the answers and you know all about life and living, and this is not the way I would handle it, this is the way that I would do it. You don't know what you would do till you were in a given situation. And stop thinking about the fact that I'm so filled with pride and I have the right to be, and get rid of your stinking ego. And start thinking about the God who loved you enough to give you a life here upon this earth. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, plans fail without good advice. And I'm going to tell you, there are always people out there to give you advice. You ever notice that? There are a lot of people in this world that are advisors, and they're ready to give you all kinds of advice, whether you want it or not. And they will tell you, this is what I would have done, or this is what you should have done. They have no idea what they would have done. They have none. You need to get all the advice you can. Get good advice from the people that you can trust. For Proverbs 24:10 says, if you give up when trouble comes, it just shows that you are weak. And you are. Remember this morning, that God has a purpose for your pain. He has a reason for your struggle, and He has a reward for your faithfulness. So don't you give up. I don't care what who says. Don't give up. Secondly, get rid of the alibis, all right. But secondly, take account of your life. You ever do that? You ever take inventory of your life? Do you know the Bible says that? Oh, it says that we're to do that right before we take the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 and following. That we are to examine ourselves. But Paul even wrote to the Lord's church and said, examine yourselves to prove whether you are in the faith. Are you really doing what God's asked you to do? Or when you take account of your life? What about this question? Where am I right now? On the journey toward eternity. Where are you? Where do you want to be? Where do you really want to be? And as we take inventory of our lives, we must ask ourselves, why have I experienced certain things over the last year? But not only that, and what is God trying to tell me? You know, God's speaking to you. You just don't hear Him. You pray about certain things, and God orchestrates or manipulates certain things to happen in answer to your prayer, but you don't listen. You don't act upon what God puts in your heart to do what you ought to do. Sometimes when you take account, you have to ask ourselves the question, what are my assets? What have I got going for me? Have I got my health? Have I got my freedom? Am I still mentally sound? Have I got friends? Have I got the Lord? Have I got the church family? And what keeps me from meeting the challenges of God? What keeps you from doing it? We need to see ourselves for what we really are spiritually. We need to look into the mirror of God's Word. James says that's what the Bible actually is. It is the mirror of God's Word. Many of you stepped in front of, I dare say, just maybe all of you. Is there anyone here this morning that did not look in the mirror before you came? I thought so. That's why things are out of place over here. But most of you looked in the mirror this morning before you got here. You wanted to make sure that your hair was groomed. You wanted to make sure that your clothes were straight. You wanted to make sure you had your makeup on. You wanted to make sure that you brushed your teeth. You wanted to make sure that everything was just right. But why is it that we fail to go to the Word of God and look into the mirror? And that's what James says it is. He says that we need to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the mirror of God's Word, and see ourselves. He says some do, but then they walk away forgetting what manner of man they really are. They don't want to make any changes. They've still got their alibis. And they're not going to change. We need to see ourselves. If you meet the challenges of 2025, it will be because you have prepared to do that. It's not just going to happen. It's not. And the moment that you stop accepting challenges is the moment that you stop moving forward. You will find yourself in the throes of depression. You will find yourself in a deep ditch, spiritually speaking, from which you cannot crawl out. So don't limit your challenges, but challenge your limits. Challenges are gifts that force us to search for a center of gravity. Don't fight them, just find a different way to stand. Our center point is our God. That's why we're drawn to Him. And that's why, thirdly, we need to start acting in faith. This year we need to, you know, a lot of people say, well, I just can't see my way clear to do this. I can't see my way clear to accomplish all the things that God has asked of me. You know what? You don't need to see your way clear. You need to walk by faith and not by sight, God said. And if you're walking by sight, you're not walking by faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. We must be a people that start acting in faith. For Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, according to your faith be it done unto you. I'm convinced that God acts upon our faith. That when we have faith, I mean, I think God wants to look at us for who we really are. And according to your faith, in Numbers chapter 13, Moses said, I can tell you great things will happen. But too many people take the attitude of que sera, sera. That's not an unknown tongue, by the way. But it means that, hey, whatever it's going to be is going to be. Nothing I'm going to be able to do about it. I can't change it. I'm just going to accept it and not make it any better. But you know what? Whether it's good, whether it's better, whether it's best, never let it rest till all of your good is better and your better is your best. Christianity is an active religion. You know, when we come into the presence of God, we come expecting, do we not? And God even told us to do that. Do you know that? You go into the presence of God's expecting and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. What are your personal aspirations for the year 2025? Did you know to fail to plan is to plan to fail? What are your plans? Shouldn't you have some in your mind and in your heart of what you really want to accomplish this year for God? What are you expecting in life? Are there things that are going to be better? Or are they going to be worse? Are they going to be the same? If you act in faith, then you will do something positive to ensure that you don't repeat the same mistakes of the past. It is an affirmative faith that takes positive action coupled with the help of God to change your life. There may be some things in your life right now that you really want to change. You'd like to see change, but you're not willing to pay the price to change them. And you're not looking for God to help you make those changes. Get rid of the alibis. Start walking by faith and not by sight. For faith in God changes everything. In the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple in the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for alms." They were asking for help. "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.'" What would be better? Would it be better to walk and move around, or would it be better to have money in the bank? Would it be better to have all of your senses exercised to determine between what is bad and what is right or what is good? Or would it be better to have a lot of trivial, mundane things that are going to perish with this world? But the Bible says that he took them by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up. I want you to notice that verse. That's an important verse. It doesn't just say that he stood up very cautiously, but he jumped up. He leaped up, and he walked, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Wouldn't you be doing the same thing? I get amazed and astounded and thrilled when I see people who are baptized into Christ. And they come up out of that water, they come up a new person, and they're leaping and they're rejoicing and they're thanking God and they're praising the Lord. And Bill, I was thinking about you earlier today. Recently obeyed the gospel, committed his life to Christ, Bill Menard. And he was so excited about taking that step. And I thought to myself, isn't that the greatest step you will ever take in your life? It is. It is the most important thing you will ever do. But this man asked for something and expected to get it, but in reality, he got much, much more than he expected. And the book of James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "You have not because you ask not." You have not because you ask not. But look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But number four, realign your focal point. What is your goal? Do you keep allowing the goal to move away from you? Or do you start aiming in the wrong direction? Sometimes that is our problem, but God will never move the target. He won't. Our focal point. It's where we ought to be looking this morning. It was where Paul looked and said, "For I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And if you are depressed, and if you are discouraged and in distress, it may be because you're thinking depressed, you're thinking discouraged, you're thinking distressing thoughts. That's your choice. You don't have to think those thoughts, though. If you're acting in fearful, worried ways, you're thinking fearful, worried thoughts. It's not by accident the Spirit of God empowered Paul to write in Philippians chapter 3 to think on those things that are holy, think on those things that are pure, think on those things that are lovely, and if there be any good report, think on those things. But some people will try to crush your joy. I don't care who you are. They will. You can smile, but people will try to get the smile off your face with words, actions. Listen to Paul's powerful assertions regarding the sufficiency of Jesus Christ our Lord. To the Ephesians, he says in Ephesians 1, verse 23, that Christ will fill everything in every way. To the Colossians, in him all things will hold together. Colossians 1 and verse 17. And to the Corinthians, he says, I resolve to know nothing but Jesus. He's the most important. So we have to keep our eyes on him. And we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You have to change your mind and let go and get rid of those painful, hurting memories of shame and guilt and other things in your life. Burn them up. Don't put them in a file where you can go back and look at them. Get rid of them. But how do you do that? You say, I've confessed to my God, but I still feel guilty. How do I get rid of a painful memory? Not by resisting it, but by replacing it. That's how you do it. And when the past calls, let it go to voicemail, because it doesn't have anything new to say. And you can say, dear past, thanks for all the lessons. Dear future, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to run the race and to do the will of God. What's the best thing we focus on? The Word of God. Psalms 1 says, happy are those who always meditate on God's Word. They're like trees along the river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. And fifthly, depend upon God. Zechariah 4:6 is important. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but my spirit, says the Lord my God. And you know what? God says, turn over a new life. Not turn over a new leaf, but turn over your whole life. And if you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Christ is looking on us even now. We will be judged according to Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Appointed unto man once to die. You must walk through this world with Jesus Christ. But you can't walk through the world with him unless you are in him. You know, I got to thinking this week about oysters. How many of you, any of y'all like oysters? You like oyster stew? Some of y'all look like you're ashamed. You're going, it's all right. I don't like raw oysters. I like fried oysters. But you know, the oyster is an amazing thing. It is the only organism that produces a jewel. Did you know that? The only organism of God's creativity that produces a jewel. And that jewel is called a pearl. I don't know if you know how the oyster produces a pearl. A little bit of grain finds its way into that oyster. I read something the other day. Let me share it with you. It's entitled, When People, Situations, and Irritations Get Under Your Skin, Remember the Story of the Oyster and the Pearl. And it says, there was once an oyster whose story I must tell, who found that some sand had gotten into its shell. It was only a grain, but it gave him great pain, for oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now, did he berate the harsh workings of fate that had brought him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse at the government and cry for elections and claim that the sea should have given him protection? No. He said to himself as he lay on a shell, since I cannot remove it, I shall try to improve it. Now the years have rolled around, as the years always do. And he came to his ultimate destiny, oyster stew. And the small grain of sand that had bothered him so was a beautiful pearl all richly aglow. Now the tale has a moral, and isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand? What couldn't we do if we only began with some of the things that get under our skin? You know, God can transform us into a beautiful pearl. But we have to work with the good Lord to do that. Is your life producing pearls this morning? You see, what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to that which lies within us. God can take us. And by the way, it's not accidental that one of these days when we go to heaven, we will walk through what is called gates of pearl. Pearl. You know, if you were to ask an oyster, what do you remember when you see that pearl? If it could speak, it might say, I remember all the hurt that I experienced. I remember me being shuffled around. Maybe that's the way we feel. But you know what? God is still polishing us. He is. The world is the shell. And we're the product of that little grain of sand. And all the pain and all the hurt that we had to experience in this life is not to be compared when we walk through the pearly gates that we call heaven. Are you in Christ? Is he your Lord and your Savior? The Bible says, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And when you're with Christ, he's in you and you are in him. Then you have every reason to believe that you'll meet the challenges, whatever they may be and wherever they may come. You have a decision to make this morning. What's your plan? What is your plan? If you're not a Christian, do you plan to become one? And if you plan to become one, why wouldn't you do it today? Why would you deny yourself of the great joy and the pleasure of being a child of God? Why would you? Will your life be lived this year, 2025, for Jesus? The most important decision you will ever make is this decision to follow our Lord. And you know what? The choice is yours. Let us stand and let us sing.